That's what.
What up? What up, everyone? What up?
Okay, we live now. We live. Okay, hey, quick thing. Hey, I just went 5 minutes talking by myself to myself, but you already know what it is, man. What up, what up, what up, what up, what up? It's your man, it's your boy, it's Auntie's favorite, it's your favorite relative, it's your uncle's favorite. You already know, yeah, man, you already know. It's your nephew, it's your man, it's your boy, Big E, man, and we here with y'all live today. Like I said, hey, I was in here talking to myself because I just figured out this StreamYard thing, so it's about to be a joke to the group for a minute. But I just did three intros by myself. But now that y'all here with us, I know you was hoping to see the man, the myth, the legend, Mike from Hurt Collectors. But Mike had some stuff he had to run and do real quick, so he had some to tap in, and that's what fam is for. So we tapping in tonight, man, but the show must go on, and we about to have a good time up in here. So just want to get into these comments a little bit, see who's up in here. If you see my hand over here, that's because I'm in these comments. But, man. Bass Carter Reptiles, thanks for tapping in. Blake's Pythons, thanks for tapping in. Let's see, my man Sammy Vargas, thanks for tapping in. You already know what it is. Bull Pythons is in the building right here, man. I love this pink shirt. My daughters was crying to me the other day. They was like, Dad, why you got on that pink shirt? But I love it, love it, love it. Dwight, thanks for tapping in. Let's see, Banner Fields, thanks for tapping in. Who else we got in here in the comments? Man, there's a bunch of people in here. Wiz, the big homie Wiz, thanks for tapping in with us. More Force, thanks for tapping in with us, man. Appreciate all y'all for tapping in. Again, like I said, y'all got a special host today. So, you know what I'm saying? We're going to learn today. First time doing this, and we're going to have a lot of fun with y'all tonight. All right? So, I got a few guests back here, so we're going to kick this intro real quick. I got a few guests that want to come on here and get to chatting with y'all. So once we kick this intro, we're going to get this thing rolling. All right.
Baby, baby, won't you listen to me? I got that flavor. I know you're dying to feed. I ain't no dancer. Just got some hip in my feet. Now throw your hands up. Ooh, you bring the lighter. I got the fuse, you make a fire, I'll add the fuel, follow my lead, just watch the shoes, gotta turn the heat up, is this cool?
Well, you know who looking like this for real, who you know who looking like this?
Alright, there it is. What's up, y'all? Again, Just Ballin' is in the building tonight. Man, it's exciting to be in here. Got the mans with me tonight. Man, I'm gonna just let y'all in. I mean, I'm sure the people know who y'all is, but y'all already know Big E from Ebony and Ivy Reptiles is tapping in with y'all tonight. Go ahead, my man up there. Go ahead, up at the top. You already know, introduce yourself.
Jaffe from Jaffe Exotics. You know, Canada's finest. I'm joking.
Yeah.
Justin, down, dirty south with Armless Angels.
Facts. All right, so we got, Nevada in the house, Canada in the house, Alabama in the house, Rolling Tide. Well, I don't roll tide. I'm a West Coast dude. USC till I die. You know what I'm saying? But man, so it's good to be in here, man. Like you said, we tapping in for the homie Mike today, but Just Ballin', y'all seen us before, and we're gonna get into this, man. And first things first, I mean, let's just talk about it. It's breeding season, and we are deep into it. Some people have been breeding since, you know, when October, November time frame. Some just started up in January. I know for me, I'm really just starting up, just had my first ovulation today. And so, you know what I'm saying? How's you guys' breeding season going thus far?
Yeah, so Justin, you go.
I would say mine's a little late, as usual, though. Mine is late every year. I got just two ovulations so far. I'm doing about 30 pairings, hoping for 20, 25 clutches maybe.
Okay, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
This season for me is going to be a small one. Other than a couple splits, I have maybe two clutches. I got for sure one girl that ovulated and had a prelay shed, and then I'm hoping another one goes, but she's a summertime. She usually goes, so by that point, we'll see if she's going to go. But I'm pretty confident she's going to go, so it's going to be a small season for me, which I can't, like, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is.
Yeah. Do you guys think that, I mean, because I've been hearing it, everybody saying late, this, that, and the other. The first girl I got ovulating actually is a first timer right now, so I don't really know her cycle. Yeah. So usually, you know, I mean, roughly around that year mark, they should be laying that next clutch if they're going to go. Yeah. So is it that, hold on, got to let Ankh in. I'm just tapped in. Let me let Ankh in here. So with that being said, you know, usually is the season really late, or are we just looking at, you know what I'm saying, is it just a lot of new females that people are adding to their collection that are just now going for the first time? I mean, what do y'all think it is? Or do y'all really have, like, females that, you know, laid 2 months ago last year and they build it right now and they, you know, they really late from that year mark?
Well, I actually got a lot of first timers myself, so I can't really say I don't really have any data on them. But like I said, though, my season is usually considered late every season. I mean, I have no idea why, but it's always like that here.
That's interesting. Yeah, for me, I feel like from the first season back until now, I feel like my females, if they went earlier than they did the year before. So this season was definitely one of that. So this girl I had 3 years in a row. She's potentially going to give me I don't see why not, but she's going to give me a clutch for the third year. And this year she was like, I think it's like 2 or 3 weeks earlier than last year in terms of ovulating. So I found that very fascinating. So we'll see. Most of my girls, usually when they go, they're earlier. If they've already went, they're earlier than the year before that.
So. Okay. So you kind of almost getting two clutches within that 12 year mark.
Yeah. 12. Yeah.
Or 12 months.
Yeah. It's still close. You know, like, last year, I have the records from the first year till now. It's within 3 weeks, maybe at most. But I've heard some situations where someone got a clutch October, let's say, and then the next clutch they got from that same female was like August or some shit like that. You know, like, it's like, damn, that's almost, what is that? That's basically a double clutch within a year.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy. Almost like on some colubrid status.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up, man? Thanks for tapping in with us. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
Absolutely, man. Stephen Jones, Whittlemore Constrictors, man. How everybody doing out there?
For sure. So we just really getting into the, you know, basically talking about the beginning of the season or whatever, where we're at in the season. I mean, this is your first year, you know. What's been going on with you? Like, what have you been, as a first-year guy, what is it that you're looking for right now in your girls or whatever that you're trying to breed?
Oh, right now I was looking at my Wookiee. I got my Wookiee bred to a few females. I got it to a clown, head hypo. I'm trying to get some hypo over in my Wookiee game. And also got my DG boy. I got him going to my inchy clown head desert ghost. So I have my DG hypo boy going to her. So a few things like that and some ciphers. I got some ciphers things I'm putting together, trying to get some get my ciphers over into the DG game as well.
Now, you don't use ultrasound, right?
Not at the moment. I think next year I'm going to go ahead. This year, I think by the end of the year, I'm going to go ahead and buy ultrasound and start ultrasound.
So with you not being having the ultrasound and this being your first year, what is some of the language, I guess, to say, that you're looking for from your females to know, like, hey, they ready to go? Is it you just going off of the weight and you pairing them, or what you looking for?
Basically looking for a lot of the bowl wrapping and the things of that nature, and still trying to learn to do some pal pay and stuff like that, messing with my nephew Justin over the Arms of Angels. But yeah, basically just watching, paying attention to their signs.
Right, right. Yeah, I just, I mean, Justin tried to give me this pal pay 3-4 years ago, but I can't do it. I can't get it.
I'm struggling, bro. I'm struggling.
I don't get how you can feel them. Like, I could feel them once I ultrasound the girl and I understand she's at, okay, I'm seeing 18 millimeter follicles on this ultrasound. Let me put her back in, but let me see if I could feel them. Then I can actually start feeling the lumps and whatever. But prior to, just to be like, oh, she building, I'm not searching for no lumps just to see if she building. It ain't working for me.
Are you trying to do it with that hand?
No, I do a paper towel in between, you know what I'm saying, and that. But I still, I don't know.
Yeah, I hate the feeling. I feel like I've seen some videos, they get that female squished like this just to palpate. Like, I don't want to pop no follicles inside of her, you know?
My problem, Jeffy. I think I'd be squeezing too hard, man.
They might get overdunked by
old school strong.
I
called a mad scientist. Like, hey, man, come check this thing out. Make sure I ain't mess nothing up.
Yeah.
Hey, so I'm looking at the comment right here, right? I mean, that was going to be one of the questions I was going to get into you with. So this is really a question that you, Keith, put on there, that you just got that Monarch G-Strike, right? First off, you know, talk about this is your first season right here, right?
Absolutely.
So your first season, basically brand new, you just invested in a crazy animal. And how did that feel, first off, doing that? And then what direction you plan on trying to maybe take this project that you haven't seen being taken yet?
I was interested in the Monarch. I actually fell in love with it the first year I seen it, that Tom Harbin had it on his table. And I actually fell in love with that snake then, and I was interested in getting into the project then. And I just didn't know which direction I wanted to go. But now, just grabbing the Monarch with the G-stripe in it, it's so many different directions I can go right now with it being so young. It's hard to say where I'm going with it. But I know it's going to be a lot of Monarch coming.
Yeah, and that's a female you picked up, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, for sure. Yeah. Justin, I know you was talking about getting into that Monarch stuff too. I'm against albinism genes. I just, they don't really vibe with me, you know. But with the Monarch with you, where you said, I mean, you got a lot more experience. How you doing there?
What's up, Karan?
So what you having that more experience, right? Where do you see, I know, because you talked about maybe getting into it, where you see in that project going, and why would you at this point get into that project with the collection you already got?
Well, the thing is, I want to get like a Monarch head clown male, so I can stick it to 5, maybe 6 of my females and put some co-dominance in it and work it into the like the Dark Knight project or the Special Dark Knight project. I really want to get that bright orange that you're getting from the Cypress Spot Nose Yellow Belly combos.
Right.
I want to incorporate Monarch into that and see what the reaction is.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I think the best black pastel are not black pastel, but Cypress Orange Dream Yellow Belly, what they had black pastel was that one from Ozzy. Not too long. I can't remember what all was in there, but that thing was. It was great.
Pastel, Cypress, Yellow Belly, I think it was.
Yeah, it might have been 2 copies of OD in there, knowing Ozzy. But that thing was, that thing is nice. Real nice. Some questions are switching over to Jaffe real quick. So Jaffe, you know what I'm saying? Speaking of the anti-albinism genes, you know what I'm saying? You know, you was heavy. Right. Cool. You know what I'm saying? Elaborate with us a little bit on your process, because we all know you was, you know, at least within this group, deep in Ultra Male when you first got in for the last 2 years or whatever, deep in the Ultra Male project, kind of have been making a shift. You know what I'm saying? How's that, you know, what's behind that shift, and you know what I'm saying? where you going with it now? You know, well, what
first,
I mean?
First, I'm going to blame you guys. They're going to be into DG. So with me, the reason why I was in Albino at the time, Albino, Ultima at the time, is I seen some combos I really liked. And at the same time, I was able to see them in person, right? So obviously, you're going to like what you see in person. So I jumped on it, and working it, I've had amazing time. This is actually the first time I've ever seen this on camera. So I've actually had an amazing time working with the Gene. But from the stuff I've seen my group, you know, all my big bros showing me, I got this, I got that. I said, shit, like, I ain't got no space in my collection for DG. I got no space in my collection for XYZ. So I'm like, and then I, as you guys know, I was debating it. And then I said, you know what? Let me flip this shit upside down. So I ended up basically getting some DG stuff. And then from then on, it was just an addiction. You know, you guys know how it goes. You buy one, then you're like, shit, I need this one. I need this one. And yeah. With that being said, I ended up going, we went to Will's spot, and I seen the DG puzzle. Oh, yeah. I came back and I said, yeah, you got to go. We do it, DG puzzle. So from then, I just went crazy for puzzle, and then I was able to sell some stuff. Like I said, nothing wrong with Ultima, nothing. I actually still enjoy it, but for me, I want to stand out, right? So for me to stand out and really make an impact on the industry, I want to work on something that's not really worked with. And at the same time, for my group, you guys don't have it. So if you guys ever need anything from that project, obviously we can trade, we can sell it within the group and all that. So you guys know I got you guys covered for that. So with that being said, it's just, you know, stand on my own and kind of, you know, really show the world what Jaffe Exotic can really do.
So basically you took your collection, basically did a 180 with your collection.
I would say 60.
Yeah, so you know, with that collection, basically flipped that whole thing over, right? Yeah. What was that? What did that process look like? I guess for the people out there that, because I mean, there's people in here watching, right, that might be like, shoot, I done bought a bunch of stuff. Yeah. I'm in a project right now that I really ain't trying to be in. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? For whatever reason. What was that process like for you as far as now being, having ultra clowns and ultra male breeders in your rack to now you got babies again, basically, that you're trying to raise up to get your parents going?
Yeah. So I think with that being said, it's number one priority is if people sell collections or sell projects, it might be more to it than just, I want to do something else. You know what I'm saying? Like, on a negative side of that, they could be selling it because, let's say, for example, two of the females or three of the females are shitty eaters, or, you know, they don't produce babies. They don't do this. So that's not what it was for me, because I'm going to keep it 1,000. It's genuinely, I wanted to move into something and just, you know, not to say I lost my interest, but I wanted to do something a little more, I guess you could say, spicy, you know, like a little more excitement. So with that being said, I put them into package groups, and I basically gave them, I'll shout them out, Sculpted Exotics. So they scooped up a crazy Ultima Clown group for a steal. We won't say the price, but for an absolute steal. And sometimes it takes a little, you know, a little fall in order for you to get up. So in that case, I was able to use that money, or I will be able to use that money and collect more puzzle stuff, hypo puzzle stuff, DG puzzle stuff, and, you know, Matt giving me a thumbs up. And
I didn't even know. That's because I have my thing. On this iPhone thing.
No, it's right. Automatic when you do a thumbs up.
Yeah, he did it like this. With that being said, it's like, you know, I want to take this shit and take it to a whole nother level. So, you know, it's basically you got to give good deals. And if you don't want to hold them or sit on them, you got to obviously do better package deals. So,
yeah,
it's
move that stuff.
Yeah.
That makes sense. We're going to hop into that, but real quick, I'm going to give a shout out to these sponsors real quick. So we're going to roll into the sponsor video real quick.
Big dreams start in small towns. Small Town Exotics is a family-run business that specializes in high-quality ball python morphs, western hognoses, and select leopard geckos. They are proud members of USARC, U.S. Art Florida, and the Orient Society. Stay connected with Small Town Exotics on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Witness their journey as they grow their business and showcase their animals to the world. Thank you, Small Town Exotics, for sponsoring the show.
Art comes in many forms. At Armless Angels, it comes to life.
Shout out to those sponsors, Shane at Small Town Exotics, and then the one and only Mr. Justin Thomas over there at Armless Angels. Shout out. Yeah, there we go. There it is right there. Jaffy rocking the t-shirt right now. So shout out to those sponsors. We appreciate y'all for sponsoring the show. So you basically had to overturn your whole thing, right? And I mean, that just brings me to, I mean, kind of back to where we started, mm-hmm. even when it comes to what it is that we keep versus what it is that we don't. So Justin, I'll ask you your process on breeding season right now. I mean, shoot, you just let go of a Cypress, what was that girl?
Red stripes, spot nose, yellow belly Cypress clam.
Yeah, so basically a Cypress Pompeii, right? So you just let that girl go. She hit the auction block not too long ago. So what is your thought process and how do you process, especially with this season coming up, you're about to be making some crazy stuff. What's your thought process and how it is that you decide what you're keeping versus what it is, I got to let this go to better fund another project or get a new rack, whatever.
Right. Well, if it's something that furthers my project, I'll keep it as a whole back and I'll sell everything else. But I mean, just because I stick an animal in that whole back rack is not saying that I'm going to hold it back permanently. Because mm-hmm. if I see Justin or Miguel or somebody post an animal that's similar to that one with, say, another recessive or extra codon, I'll sell that one and reinvest into the better one. They'll just put a little bit of money with it and make it work out better.
Yeah. Yeah. You did that recently with the, what was that you just picked up? Was it the redhead hypo that you
redhead, spot nose, inchy, yellow belly, fire hypo head clown?
Right. And basically you got rid of one just to go off and buy that.
Right. That was actually my reason for getting rid of the Cypress Pompeii.
Right. Okay, correct. So yeah, so you just took that, went right into that. So talk about the reinvestment part of it. What about you? What's your process on, you know what I'm saying? First season's coming up, or this year is about to be your first season hatching babies, sitting by the incubator for 60 days straight, waiting for them things to start pipping out. What's going to be your process if you thought about that as far as, you know, what you decide to keep versus what you're going to decide to sell and let go?
Pretty much, at the point right now, I'm looking at holding back a lot of stuff because I'm still at the building stage, but I also agree with what Justin said there. If I see something out there that was better that I can sell and reinvest with a better genetic, I'll do that as well. But for the most part, I'm looking to hold back a lot of stuff because I'm still building.
Right. What's yours, Jeff? If you have anything different from that?
I mean, everything they said too is even another thing that I like to do myself is actually, let's say for example, right? I'm trying to produce DG, so we'll say spot nose yellow belly DG con, right? And I have a double head to, let's just say, whatever the case is to produce that combo. If I can financially buy the combo I'm shooting for now, and then within that clutch, I'm hoping that I can hit it, or even if I miss it, sell everything, and that way it would basically pay for that animal. That's another thing I do myself, because sometimes it's always better to purchase an animal up front if you're still producing. You know, people will be like, oh, I don't need to buy this because I can produce it myself. And then when they shoot for that combo, they miss. Now they're a season or two behind because now the female might reabsorb the year after, or, you know, she might slug out or whatever the case is. So sometimes if I really need something, I'll buy it in hopes that if I do produce something of that nature or in that project, I could sell it and then recoup that money. And now I got a female or male, whatever the case is, a little bit older. So that's right. What I like to do. You know, you don't want to go crazy and buy everything, but at the same time, key animals is always nice to have. Especially,
yeah, I think that's one of the parts that I'd be struggling with, honestly, is the you know what I'm saying, let go of stuff that I've actually made, you know what I'm saying, and then trying to reinvest it in something else. But essentially, you buy in those years, you know what I'm saying? Right. So, right. You know, that's important when it's come to, if you're really trying to build your collection up and do something crazy, sometimes you got to buy those years. Yeah. It's those experiences sometimes that like scare me. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I have a fear right now of, like, I have some females in here. I was telling y'all about a package deal I want to put together and get rid of some females in the mail and put that in a package. Mm-hmm. And it's really to invest into another female. But my fear right now is the last two females that I've bought that have been, that weren't hatchlings, right? Yeah. One was a stranger clown girl a year and a half ago that ended up getting egg bound on me and passed. The other one was the white lace yellow belly girl who ended up just dying on me within 2 months of being in the rack. Mm-hmm. So that now I'm like, shoot, I don't want to buy nobody's. I'd rather just make my own females and raise them up. How do y'all feel when it comes to buying mature or proven breeders or that 800 to 1200 gram snake, especially a female?
Yeah, I rarely do that. Most of the time I buy all my animals as hatchlings and raise them up myself.
Mm-hmm. Is that what's your logic behind that? Is that just, you just feel more comfortable with that in that way?
Well, that's part of it. But then I also look at, if it's a project that's on, say, on the peak of blowing up, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. nobody's going to sell you an adult with those specific genes. So like it's something like a DG Pompeii. Mm-hmm. Nobody's selling an adult DG Pompeii.
Right.
So for me, if I buy, say, 1,000 gram or 1,500 gram female, it's kind of like I'm buying into a project that's already halfway gone.
Mm, I
feel like I'm missing the boat on it.
Got you.
I see what you mean. Okay, that's a good.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think for me, you guys know me. I like to buy them as big as they can come. If they come ready to breed, I'll buy it. But with that being said, like Justin said, right, some animals you can't buy as an adult or sub-adult. You literally have no choice but to buy it as a baby. So with the animals I can and cannot do, I buy, I will do. Like my hypo doublehead DG puzzle, obviously, where are you going to find a proven breed male? It's literally impossible. So with that kid, with that animal, I actually bought as a baby. And then everything else that I've got into that project is sub-adult slash, you know, babies. And then, you know, I feel like where you can buy it. But if you can't, then on top of that, too, you have to imagine, too, that if you're buying a baby, it might cost double, triple the value as an adult or sub-adult. So you also have to take that into consideration, too.
You said that the adult is going to cost way more?
Yeah, like if you buy baby, like hypo DG head clown versus a you know, proven or ready to breed or sub adult, you're going to pay double or triple the value.
Right. Yeah, for sure. What about you, Ark? Does it matter to you what you?
I haven't bought many sub adults or adults. Most everything I've been purchasing been hatchlings. Hadn't had a real reason to buy adults. I hadn't seen what I needed in the adult. Everything I've been building on seems to have come from hatchlings. No, I got maybe 3-4 adults I bought, but seems to be the ones I bought as adult, I still lose that same year and they don't go or something like that. So I might as well wait for the hatchling anyway.
Right. That is the scary part about adults. You never know if they're going to go for you when they first get there.
I've done that. I did too when I first got in. I bought a couple of adults and I haven't gotten any babies yet.
Yeah. As far with this season going the way that it is, I'm talking about just as far as the market and everything like that. You know, auctions started up. They keep increasing them. I think now, shoot, I want to say the level that I'm at, I want to say it's 3 auctions a month or maybe even 4. Are you guys liking the auctions? Are you guys utilizing the auctions? If so, what do you see as the benefit of the auctions that's been added? Or if you see a negative to it, you know, what would be a negative?
I've been utilizing it quite a bit, man. I've been able to move some lower end animals, and basically I would say lower end, I should say just meeting the market price. So I think the auction has been great, man, because went for the auction, probably wouldn't have been able to move some animals.
Nice.
Yeah, see, I think the auction is really good to help us get over the hump of this slow market right now. And it's giving the people that just started an opportunity to get in on some nice animals at a discounted rate. Because, I mean, some of these animals, a lot of us couldn't afford, in, what, 3-4 years ago, when you're talking about animals for $15,000, $20,000?
Right.
So right now, I mean, it's a good time to jump in, get some animals at a discounted price. And when that market correction comes, boom, I mean, you're in the game.
Yeah, for me, I haven't used it. But I will actually be – I might be putting up, I guess, for the guys – for the people in the comment section – I'll be letting go an enhancer / DG crown at G-Stripe Mail. So I might put that on auction, but who knows? But for the most part, I haven't used it. I think that might be the first one if it doesn't sell before that.
Yeah. I'm thinking about putting that trio up that I was telling you guys about. I might just list it, but the auctions for me have been good. It's really just, you know, trying to find that sweet spot. Trying to find the end date that you want to happen. You know, you don't really want it to end in the middle of the week. Yeah, kind of want it to end on a Friday or a Saturday when you know people getting paid. That, you know, we've talked about the, what's that, the reserve versus not having a reserve or a starting bid. I mean, the starting bid, what's better? You know, the reserve, the one I did with a reserve didn't meet the reserve, but then the one I did with a starting bid didn't even get a bid. Mm. So, I'm leaning more towards the reserves or just no reserve at all. You know, as far as if I'm going to post up anymore. Hit that like button. If y'all ain't hit that like button, smash on that like button for sure. So the auctions though, I think they've been good. They've been good, been able to move some stuff. Have you guys had any bad experiences with the auctions as far as customers or anything are buying from the auction?
No, I mean, I hadn't had any bad experiences with it. I mean, I had one animal that didn't get any bids, but I mean, that's basically me toying around, like you said, with the starting bid or the reserve. And I'm seeing that you do a whole lot better with the reserve versus the starting bid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never did one with the starting bid. All mine have been done with a reserve, and I had luck on every one with a reserve.
Nice. Yeah. I don't know. I've never bid or bought an animal or listed an animal, so I'm curious to see how it works. Though it's just, you know, as I'm in Canada, so even with that being said, I feel like I might be just, you know, overthinking it. But I feel like because I'm in Canada, people might not bid on the stuff that I have or potentially will have. But who knows? We'll see when the time comes.
Well, I think. Sorry, I got an eyelash or something in my eye. I think that's going to change though with the. Because I've even thought about that. I've seen somebody putting stuff on auction that was from Canada. Mm-hmm. But now with the, I don't know, I feel like maybe it's just my knowledge in it now, but as far as the getting the shipments across the border and whatnot, it's not, I mean, this season now, the weather's warm, so it's, I mean, this shipment's going across every month.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think right now would be that time for sure.
Yeah, basically, if you guys are like in the comment section or anybody watching, if you guys are looking for an animal in Canada or, you know, vice versa, there's a service actually right now, Reptile Hub International, INTL. She's actually based out of U.S. and she's actually doing exports and imports from Canada to U.S. and then vice versa. So you guys can always hit her up on Instagram and super smooth to deal with, amazing person. So it's not hard. It's just a difference of time. You know, you guys in the States, you order something today, you get it Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. For the export, it's you know, you gotta wait a couple months. But even at that, what's a couple months when you have to wait 2 years or something for the animal to be, you know, females to be breeding. So it ain't much of a wait time.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. That's, I saw that up in Will's Patreon when you was putting it up in there. So I definitely, I'm be using that if I got to ship anything out.
Yeah.
For sure. Using that service. I'm a knock out these, take a break real quick and knock out these last, this last sponsored video real quick. Stay tuned, 'cause we'll be right back.
Peace and love, family. We invite you into the heart of our serenity, Ancestral Royal Pythons. At Ancestral Royal Pythons, we're not just breeders, we're nurturers of love and growth. Each of our high-end ball pythons is a tribute to the grandeur of the natural world and our dedication to quality. Reach out today and bring one of our creations into your home. This is Ancestral Royal Pythons. Your journey begins here.
Here's to the exciting world of ebony and ivory reptiles. From unforgettable parties and events to keeping and hatching some of the dopest reptiles in the reptile hobby, we're all about education, quality, integrity, and respect. Hit us up and see how we can help make your next project a reality. Experience Ebony and Ivory Reptiles, where fascination meets fun.
Ebony and Ivory Reptiles.
Thanks for those sponsors, Jason over at Ancestral Royal Pythons. Hey, we appreciate you for sponsoring the show. And thanks to my wife. I don't even know if she knows we sponsor the show, but, you know, we sponsor the show. I don't know if I can say thank you to myself. But, yeah, thank you to those sponsors for sure, for sure. Hey, Wiz, I got you. I got you. I can't – there's no way in the world that I can be entrusted to – head this show off for Mike or do this show for him and not end it on that note. So, you know what I'm saying? When we get out of here, I got you. I got you for sure.
I was going to ask you, too.
I got you
for sure.
Shoot, man. I mean, I done skipped out so many times.
Every time you say it, on the I'm screaming it with you. Ebony and Ivory. Even my girl, she's laughing in the back. No,
man, I recorded that voiceover on my couch in the living room, and just my wife was like
in the stew,
right? And she was like, I told her I was going to start a YouTube channel. Excuse me, and I was like, I need an intro, whatever. And she was went on a little YouTube maker thing or whatever it was, or whatever. And then she was like, how you gonna do it and whatever, and I just sang it like that, and it was, you know, one and done, and it's been, I ain't changed it since. Yeah. What is it, my eye?
We about to add in a whole theme song for your channel.
Went in like Tupac, one time.
one time, right off the dome. No need to write it down. So what are you guys looking forward to right now in this season? Mostly, any parents that you guys got coming up that are you like, I need this one to go, that you try not to think about, because I feel like when I think about the one I need to go, they mess around and not go. So any ones that you like, that you real eager to see what's going on with them right now?
Yeah, one that I'm waiting on right now is the Spot-Nosed Fire Yellow Belly Clown Double Hit Hypo DG. The DG Krypton hit Hypo.
Oh, shit.
And say that again, because somebody didn't hear all them jeans you made.
I know, I did.
Spot-Nosed Fire Yellow Belly Clown Double Hit Hypo DG to a DG Krypton Posse Hit G-Stripe.
Okay, DG Krypton Posse. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to Spot-Nosed Fire. What did I say? Spot-Nosed Fire Yellow Belly DG Clown Double Hit G-Stripe Hypo.
Yeah.
So you got what, three codoms in there and three recessives or four recessives?
Four recessives.
Yeah. And four recessives. I mean, I think that's good even on that, because I feel like in a lot of these projects right now we're missing, and I know people have said it before, but we're missing a lot of those codoms shooting for just the triple visuals. And so, yeah, that'll definitely give you more than just a visual. If you hit the visual, it has some codoms in there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I think what's going to happen, man, I think the market is going to eventually have to start to backtrack. Because everybody shot for making the double recesses and then the triple recesses and then rushed into the quad recesses. But everybody skipped all these co-dominant combos in the double recesses. Yep. But I can feel so much to be done with Hypo Clown. Or, I mean, Hypo Pied. Or DZ Pied. I mean, they skipped so many recesses. I mean, co-dominant.
Yeah. Me and Jackie were talking about that. Uh-huh. Excuse me. Before we hopped on and went live, we was talking about the Hypo DG Clown project, because it was asking me, yeah, was I going to have a shot at, did I do the pairing to get the shot at the triple visuals? Yeah. And instead of doing one of the pairings that would give me a shot at the triple visual, I decided to go with the male that I was going to add some more codoms to it, because I was telling him I love even the Hypo DG Clown, but I feel like we went from, like you said, the Hypo Clown and the DG Clown, and was like, oh shoot, let's go Hypo DG Clown. But you lose a lot of contrast when you go Hypo DG Clown versus just a DG Clown, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or you lose a lot from the Hypo Clown than when you add the DG to it. So it's so much to be done in those double recessive projects that a lot of people are just skipping right over just to go into the triple of it. And so it's got to be, let me give a shout out to Gray Rider Reptiles, and we can talk about that some more. Charlie,
yeah.
If y'all need shed testing, hit up my man Charlie. I think, Charlie, you could put a list down there in the comments of everything you got, but I know you got Hypo, I know you got Clown, mm-hmm. I know he got the Yellow Belly Complex. What else you got? Pied.
All the Hypo, you said, Exotic too. Is this Exotic? DG.
DG,
yeah.
And he's fast. That's what I love about him, because if I send my shits and he tell me he got it, within that week, I'm going to get it. Man, I'm sorry. I keep on messing with my eye. Y'all can go ahead and keep talking about that. But,
I think, so for me, I'm not totally out of Ultra. I have Ultra Pied clutch this year. Two of my clutches that I'm having this year is going to be Enchi Leopard Pied Double Head Ultramel Hypo. Two double head ultramel pied. So if I can hit leopard ultra pied head hypo, I'll definitely keep that back, or even ultra pied head hypo, because I don't want to completely be out of ultramel. I still want it, especially in the pied. But that's definitely something that I'm excited for. And then I have two other clutches that I'm super excited for. I don't know if we can tell them the one clutch I'm having with Matt, but the one clutch I'm having with Matt is actually a clown pied head hypo. And he's breeding it to a DG Hypo Head Clown. So if we can hit a whole clutch of Hypo Clown Double Head DG Pieds, that'd be nice. So that's going to be my most powerful clutch ever. And then I also have another split clutch, but I don't want to jinx that one too, because that one, I think it's under 30, which the one we have with Matt is, I think, over 30 or something about that. So she's basically good to go. I'm excited about those. Yeah, so VPI and DG.
Yeah. Yeah. She was, I think I measured her at 28 millimeters on, what's that date set there? March 9th.
Okay.
March 9th, she was 28 millimeters. So, I'll probably check her again at the, you know, in April, the beginning of April or whatever, make sure she went over that 30 mark.
Yeah.
So she should be good. And I'll be late here soon, because that's going to be a crazy, crazy clutch for sure. Yeah. For sure.
I got that Hurricane, my Hurricane double head hypo DG Clown 50% head hypo. I put my DG board to that, and I'm looking for some good stuff out of that one. My DG Hypo Head Clown. So hopefully I can get some good stuff out of that. And I got my Wookiee boy, the Black Pastel Red Strike Wookiee Head Clown. I got him going to my Batman girl. So I'm expecting that, and hopefully have a decent season with that.
That's going to be nice.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the one I got with Jack, I mean, I got some stuff that I'm really excited about. Just a lot of building blocks. So really, as far as the paint stuff goes, Jaffe hopped in the puzzle this year, and I hopped in the paint hard this year. Mm-hmm. I hopped in the Monarch, and Justin was already in everything. So, the paint stuff that I got going this year, I'm really, really excited about that. And so just trying to hit that heck of hard, and then, you know, sell a bunch of stuff so I could invest more in that project. I think it's got a lot of potential to do some crazy stuff in the Hypo project, in the Clown project, and in the DG, all just in those double recessives by themselves. So, yeah, I'm excited about that one for sure. There was a question I had to ask y'all. Oh, man, where'd it go? Did I ask y'all about if y'all had any the biggest disappointment so far this year? Since the last time we talked?
You never asked that. I don't even know what would be.
No?
I don't.
No disappointments?
I don't necessarily really a disappointment, but I think we were talking about it yesterday. Is one of my prime females, which is a Black Pastel Red Stripe Krypton Triple Hit Hypo Genetic Stripe BG, wouldn't let the male that I wanted to stick to her pair.
Oh,
I was shooting for the what was it, the Desert Gold Hypo Pompeii, but she won't let that male lock to her, so I ended up putting in a Cypress OD Yellow Belly Clown. They locked instantly. Consider that a good disappointment somewhere.
Right. I mean, and that happens, you know what I'm saying? That's one of those things that people don't talk about. Sometimes those females just don't like that male you're putting in there. You know what I'm saying? No. He don't smell right, he don't look right, something ain't right about him. And then you thought, now would you try, I guess, will you try that first male a month from now to see if she'll take him?
You already know. I had it on my mind already.
Yeah. Yeah, because that might be the case. She might just, you know what I'm saying, had to let somebody else get up in there first, and, you know.
I mean, man, she started slamming food. She's up to 2,300 grams, threw the mail in 3 or 4 times, nothing. I'm like, man, you got to be kidding me, man.
Yeah.
That's still a banger clutch, though, Justin. You're going to hit basically, what is that, a Cypress Pompeii Posset DG?
Yeah, it would be let me see. Cypress OD Yellow Belly, Red Stripe, Black Pastel, Clown, Triple Hit, well, possibly Triple Hit, G Stripe, Hypo.
Yeah, that's nice.
So, I mean, it could still be some good odds. It's just not exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
Here's a question we got from, and then we'll come back to the disappointments from Jaff and Unk. Mm-hmm. Anybody in here that I don't know off the top of my head? I don't think so. Anybody working tri-stripe?
No.
No. Is there a reason why anybody in here is not working tri-stripe? I guess I'll put it like that.
No, I don't have a specific reason. I just never got into it.
I think for me, it's just it doesn't pop. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't catch my, I need to do this now. Like, you know, even puzzle for me back in the day, you guys know, I wasn't really a fan of puzzle. If anything, I didn't really like it. And then now here I am about to tear the world down to get more puzzles. Like, you know, so it just works like that. Who knows, you know, 2 years from now, I might be going crazy for tri-stripe. So, you know, for me, it's just, it doesn't really catch my eye. I mean, it's nice. Don't get me wrong. It's nice, but it's not like I need it now. I need it now. We can only have so many projects until we like, okay, we're about to go crazy with all these different genes.
Right. Especially when it comes to recessives.
Yep.
Has anyone produced the Tri-Strike Clown yet?
Yeah, I think Will has a Tri-Strike Clown.
I know the Tri-Strike Clown and the Tri-Strike Hypo. The Tri-Strike Hypo was one that had me thinking maybe I'll get into Tri-Strike.
Yeah.
Because that one is, it completely changes the look of that snake. And it's just, as far as the color go, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure with the right codoms in there, it'd be nice. But I mean, I personally am not in it right now simply because I just haven't seen anything yet that's like,
yeah.
I gotta get in and try strike.
agree.
Yeah, that's me the same way. I haven't seen nothing I like about it, you know, that make me want to get in.
Right.
Yeah, so somebody shoot me a picture of the Tri-Strike Clown. I wanna see this.
I'm gonna look for it later. I'm gonna
send it. And it's not drastic.
I mean, it tried to do something, you know.
It's almost like the I won't say it looks like it, but it's almost got that same effect as these puzzle clowns that people are saying puzzle clowns have on you. You know what I'm saying? It's like you was expecting something to be crazy, and it's really, if that's what it is, and it's really not that crazy. You know,
I almost feel like, to some degree, I almost feel like clown and puzzle can't be mixed. Like, it's like Justin said he had what, 150 eggs or clutches or something?
And eggs.
And to his knowledge, he hasn't hit one. Ain't no way 150 eggs, you didn't hit one puzzle clown. So it's almost like, you know what I'm saying? Like almost a reverse allelic. It's almost like incompatible. Like that shit don't go together. So I wanna see that. But the one in Japan, that one is still, in my opinion, if that's what Puzzle Clown looks like, it's fire. But we don't even know where that one went.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one surface like what do you call it? A sub-adult picture at all, like a progress picture on that at all.
That would be a crazy push to GHI, Black Pastel, Yellow Belly, Wookie Clown. Oh yeah,
I was just looking at that. That's
Charlie. Tell him he ain't got no choice.
Right, she may just not put it with somebody else and get a lock, and maybe she getting that. You know what I'm saying? Getting that mood to, you know what I'm saying? It ain't no fun if the homies can't handle that. You know what I mean? she might be with it after that. Who knows?
I remember Mike told us one thing he tried. He put the female, so the male that locked with a female, he said he put another female that he would have locked with in that tub and then put that male inside and they locked. So, Charlie, maybe try that out. So, replace the female that he's already bred before into the tub that the female, you know, that doesn't want it, and then that way, when you put that male in there, it might even be him. It might not even be the female. It might be him. So hopefully that works. But I'm going to hit Charlie up after this. I'll tell him.
Yeah. And I mean, even back on the tri-stripe and the puzzle stuff, I think that a lot of that has to do with like this, the slow as far as everybody catching on to it, because puzzle's been around forever. Tri-stripe's been around forever. Is the, like you said, their compatibility with clown, right? And a lot of people's value, and I feel like a lot of people, and of course it's morphed by our, because of the leader in the game is Canova, and they do clown. That is what Justin is. He does clown. And so, I feel like it's kind of tainted everybody's view in the market, as if it don't go with clown, then it just don't go. And I don't know. Like, I just feel like puzzle got so much potential with DG and Hypo, and even diving into paint. Like, I like paint clowns, but paint clowns ain't got nothing on paint Hypo to me. It don't have nothing on it, and the stuff that you could do with it. And so I don't know. I think a lot of stuff, you know, like you didn't like. Odds got not liking the cinnamon or G-stripe until you see it in something else. I mean, you know, it really just depends on what it is you like it with, and it don't got to be centered around clown. It really don't. So, but
that's the thing. That's a, like, in 2023, I remember it was like, if it don't look good in clown, I don't want it. Like, that was the norm at the time. Now it's like we try to see it in, you know, puzzle, G-stripe. You know, all these different things. It just, you know, that you didn't see the right color. I mean, like I said, I ain't hating on it. Just for me, if he's talking about the tri-stripe.
I think he's talking about tri-stripe.
Yeah, for me, it's just, I'm not saying it's, I don't like it. It's just, for me, I wouldn't go out and go crazy and produce. Like, tri-stripe, DG tri-stripe is nice. Like Matt said, hypo tri-stripe is nice. But I feel like, for me, I just wouldn't go and chase that. I'd rather just do puzzled, or, you know, even clown.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's really just finding that right comp, because, like, I mean, like he said, the G-Stripe, I mean, shoot, nobody's messing with G-Stripe until Clown. But even me, personally, like, Justin's working it. I've got some G-Stripe Clown stuff, or, you know what I'm saying, in that project. Y'all know I'm not a fan of the G-Stripe. I haven't seen a G-Stripe Clown yet that's making me like, all right, I got to get into this G-Stripe mix. Yeah. I just haven't seen it yet for me. You know what I'm saying? And it does stuff for other people, but you know what I'm saying? But that's the beauty of it. If you can get your mind wrapped around, all right, you know, how can I make my own path with this, with what it is I'm trying to do? So, you know, let me see. What's Antoine saying? The recessive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He said, oh, is he talking about Puzzle Clown?
Yeah, because he said, remember I said it almost looks like you can't combine them. Like,
gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Blockhead and Spider, you breed them, they look like a normal. It looks like a normal.
Right.
But then I've never seen one of those.
Blockhead, yeah. Blockhead Spider, when you produce a Blockhead Spider, it looks like a legit normal.
But is it still a Lily though?
I think so. Hey, let me pull it up. Blockhead.
It's still a Lily, but visually it looks like a normal.
It looks almost like a normal, yeah. Like, this is what it looks like. Especially knowing what Spider looks like. This is what it looks like. Let me open this.
Why isn't this not opening? Yeah, I'm curious to see, because I thought Blackhead and Spider was a.
Oh.
So that's a Blackhead Spider.
Yeah, that looks like almost like a normal.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a Blackhead, and it doesn't look like a Spider.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, that makes a lot of sense if you put it that way.
It almost like turns it into a normal, super normal.
Yeah, that's wild.
No, and that, no nothing.
That could be what it, you know, the Puzzle Clown type deal. And if so, I mean, you just gotta, you know, work them differently or without each other. You know, shoot, I'm so far back in these comments, but no, go ahead.
I would say my concern with that is now I like a lot of the puzzle. DG combos or the puzzle hypo combos. But my concern is because the majority of the market likes clowns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every new gene that pops up, everybody wants a clown. So my concern with that is, if it doesn't work with clown, what happens to the value of that project, not just the visual appearance of it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have the demand for it goes down because it doesn't work for clown. So does that price go down? Does the value of that DG puzzle or hypo puzzle go down, or does it remain the same?
That's interesting.
Yeah, I kind of think it all, again, is shaped on the perception of what it is. Because if Canova, to me, decides that today they not working clown no more and they working puzzle, paint, hypo, that's the combo they working, everybody in America is about to figure out how to flip their whole project, their whole collection.
Oh no, bro.
To mimic that in some way.
Clown.
I'm heavy clown over here, man.
But that's what I'm saying though. Everybody's heavy and heavy clown. Not, I mean, it does look good. To me, it's the best when you put different combos in it. It's the best standalone recessive when you start stacking codoms on it. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of people though are persuaded by, you know what I'm saying, what's the masses gonna do. And he kind of controls the masses, I guess, and I mean, maybe not everybody, but I mean, if you get him, Ozzy, and who else, some more big name breeders, and they all ditch clown, what would be the point, you know? I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
I think the market follows his projects to a certain extent. But a lot of, like, I mean, if for instance, you say, look at the Dream Silver.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Dream Silver is still a beautiful animal. Justin's still producing them, but they're not moving anywhere near as fast as the clowns are.
True.
That's true, too, because Dream Circles, at one point, you could have bought you a crib selling five of them.
Yeah, exactly.
You could have been killing the game with that. And then that's where I think, like Matt said, once Clown got into the game, and once, in my opinion, once Justin dropped the Batman, Clown went crazy. From then on, he came out with the Dark Knight, Pompeii. What was the other big Clown combo? Magnum? Is it not Magnum?
Yeah, that's the that Red Stripe project. Yeah. We're looking at the Magma project.
So all that being said, I think you know, Clown has definitely been at the top, is on the top of the list of combos. And then, you know, you just put the DG, Hypo, G Strike, Pi on top of that, and then now you have a crazier combo. So we'll see. We'll see how long Clown can be at the top. But obviously, right now, Clown's at the top. I think Puzzle's coming up.
Even in that, to me, if you, I mean, if Puzzle is coming up, I think that's at a 10, 15 year window away, years away in my eyes, because you, like I said, we still have skipped over mass production of Hypo Clown combos, DG Clown combos, Hypo DG Clown combos, and then Clown and whatever other recessive you want to throw in there that looks good. Paint, Clown and G Stripe. You got all those, and then you got the triples and the quads on top of those. So it's going to be a while. I mean, Clown is probably the most versatile one that we have. You know, I think to rebuttal what or to go to talk about what Justin was talking about as far as the Dreamsicle, I think the only thing that really shot the Dreamsicle in the foot was that, just like with Pied, it just takes away so much pattern, and right now people want pattern, and it takes away color. And people want different colors.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's just a shade of pink and purple and white.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie though, that's super inchy, and then lavender and whatever else you throw in it is ridiculous. Yeah. It's, I just want one of those for a pet, like just to look at.
But with that being said, Justin, wouldn't it also be amazing if you started stacking crazy combos on just pure lab? Because that way you would be able to still produce high contrast animals, but you're not going to produce a pie that just one little ball cap on his head top. And that's the one pattern he has.
So I actually had that in mind already.
Okay.
Yeah, working it with just lab and leave it right out.
Yeah. Because my boy, he's producing some R&B reptiles. If you guys don't know him already, he's producing some purple stuff. And some of that, oh my god!
You said some Puzzle stuff?
No, Starburst.
Okay.
Entry Leopard Lavender stuff.
Yeah,
he's that, and oh my god! When I seen that at the show, I was like, "What?" Man, I might go crazy into a lab because I got that one lab head pie girl just sitting there. She big too, for no reason. So we might, you know, that's like the definition of a pet snake, like. Something where you could sell all day at shows and still be able to make good money from. You ain't trying to kill it in terms of produce lavender, this and this, you know what I'm saying? But you still producing some nice quality pet stuff. Nobody can deny just a lavender. Plain Jane lavender, to me, is still one of the most beautiful animals I've seen, especially when an adult. Ain't no browning out or anything like that.
Yeah, see, I say the lavender combos are some of the most beautiful, affordable animals on the market.
I agree.
I mean, now when you add the pie to it and make these dream silver combos for a lot of pet keepers, I mean, you push it out of the price range.
Yeah. That shows we get them here. Like, you got lavender stuff, you got dream silver stuff, that's all they want. Like, you know, it's a wow factor. Imagine, you know, someone who's not into snakes coming to your crib and first thing you show them is a Dreamsicle. Ain't no way they're going to tell you that looks bad or that looks, you know. They're going to say, what? That's real? Like, 100% it's real.
And the cold part is, like, as much as I would love to be able to have some of those, it's like, it's hard to put a lavender. Because I know if I, even at my local shows, people be asking, like, dude, do you got any regular pies? no, I don't have a regular pie. I'm not breeding no regular pies. Like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, but they want them though. They want them. So it's like, geez, man. So what do you do? Like somebody else already said, like, whatever the demand is, that's what you got to go with, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody said something about Monsoon Clown up here. Is anybody even in the chats working the Monsoon Clown? Because I know none of us is in that, right?
No.
Are taking a leap into that project?
No.
Do y'all see potential in it? Right, go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was just going to say, I feel like I guess that goes to answer your question. For me, I just feel like for the price point and what you can produce is just not for me. You know, it's I think if I am going to work a Monsoon, I would do Monsoon Clown stuff. But that's just because, you know, who wouldn't want a Monsoon Clown in their collection, just running it to every clown combo? You know, like Justin said, right? At the end of the day, clowns are top. So if you can add a Monsoon DG Clown, imagine what you could do with that. And I'm talking about financially and collection wise. You know, you'd be killing the game with that. So I think for me, it's like Monsoon isn't a gene where I really want to, you know, go crazy in it. So it's cool. It's one of the coolest looking single genes, but I just wouldn't work Monsoon. I'm super.
Yeah, I see some cool stuff in it, but it ain't nothing I'm interested in purchasing.
Yeah.
Is it for you the price point as well too, huh?
Yeah, it's priced on the high side, and for the price, I just haven't seen nothing I would want to jump in. I can make something I would want for the price that it's priced at.
Yeah, that's true.
And me personally, I just really don't care for it much. I mean, it's just one of those jeans that I just really don't like. I look at Monsoon, to me, it's just like, as much as I like Sunset. I mean, the market and people like it, but I just don't care for the jeans.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. Monsoon to me it don't excite me at all. I'd probably go into Monarch or some kind of albinism gene before I would go into Monsoon, because it just doesn't, that one just doesn't do it for me at all. Mm-hmm. But you know, to each his own, because somebody's out there making a killing with it right now. So, you know, and you know, they're working it and it'll work for them.
Yeah. I mean, we ain't trying to, you know, say any gene looks bad. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying if we have limited space, we don't got unlimited space, so we can't work everything.
Right.
That being said, we gotta be very selective on what we choose to bring in, what we choose to breed. I got, like I said, I got a lavender girl that's just been here for 4 years, hasn't done nothing. So, you know, with that being said, I just keep her as a pet. You know, when people come over, I'm like, oh, this is a ball python. You know, she's very gentle too. She's basically the perfect snake for anybody who's new. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think the one gene where I could kind of see some form of like, why would you keep this or breed this, is the patternless gene. I mean, the whole point of a ball python is to see pattern. Even G-stripe, you get that nice G-stripe. But the patternless gene is a gene literally patternless. So it's like, what are you going to do? It's still patternless, you know? So, and on top of that, it's recessive. So it's even like you wait 2 years to produce a patternless animal. That's the one gene where I'm kind of confused. But at the end of the day, I don't think nobody really breeds the patternless gene. I think TSK is the only one that got it. You guys seen it, patternless gene?
Yeah.
I have seen it.
How do you guys feel about it?
I mean, I don't really care much for it. But, I mean, now I've heard some of the older breeders that was breeding long before I was.
Yeah.
They talk about how the market used to really like reduced pattern.
Especially
Right. But when I got in, everybody was pretty much chasing adding pattern with the spot nose and fire yellow belly. And I just couldn't imagine a market where people just want to take the pattern away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it might be good to throw that with Monsoon and see the battle of those two clash out and see how that works out.
What happened there?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to waste my 3 years to try to do it, but.
Yeah,
but you know, this is a cool one though. Has what do you guys think about? I don't know if Oscott has the gorilla gene, but What do you guys think about that Gorilla Gene? Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
That DPR has?
Yeah. Yeah. If DPR is on here watching, I need one of those.
We want one.
MBK is actually the one that started the gene, but DPR, Antoine is actually the one who works for DPR for MBK.
Yeah.
So the groundwork and you know, basically working the gene. But just to give where credit's due, MBK was the one that originated it. For me, I love it. It's nice. You know, that dark black back, it's like pitch black. Like, that thing is crazy. First thing I told them is put into Ultra, but oops. You know, like
Ultra who?
I still say 100% put it to some, you know, Monarch for you guys and Ultramel. It will look real nice. It's like, you know, all the albino jeans is looks amazing with dark jeans.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you said no, just dreaming about.
Yeah, because it's he was saying he didn't have any working any monsters or gorilla stuff. I think it's a cool jean, man. I mean, there's so many jeans out there though that are. Which is why, again, I'm like, it's so hard to work every recessive project because it's a new codom coming out every doggone day. Mm-hmm. I ain't talking about new codoms that, you know, Cats is renaming, but I'm like new codoms every day that, I mean, the Cosmos.
Yeah.
I mean, that ain't hit the streets like yet like that. You know what I'm saying? You got all these jeans that's out there, man, that I just... Really, 4 to 5 recesses is all I could work, and then try to work all these codoms into those recesses.
Yeah, Cosmos, you know, is crazy. Yeah. Cosmos is a crazy. I think Cosmos might be the next big codom, in my opinion. I think Cosmos is going to be huge.
Does it have a super form?
Yeah, super Cosmos.
It does. Okay. Yeah. Oh, it's just a super Cosmos. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, is it a visual super form of it, or is it like a super leopard?
No, it's a visual. You can definitely tell the difference.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna send some pictures in the group.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because I mean, the regular Cosmos is already whacked out as it is.
I see you some tools. I said, "Oh my god!"
Now, who's the guy that has that? Ralph, the Cosmos?
Ralph Sims.
That's right. Okay.
Over in Germany, I want to say.
Didn't y'all have him on y'all show?
Yeah. We had him, but. He just came on just to chop it up. He wasn't going to show anything, but he should be coming on eventually.
Oh, that's right, because the other guy was showing stuff off. Yeah. And with that, because I did want to ask you that, with that, you just started the show. Has it been a year yet since y'all been doing that?
I want to say, 2 years almost?
Oh, it's been 2 years?
Yeah, almost. I think this year will be 2 years. Sometime September, I think it is.
When y'all started that show, what was the expectation versus what it is, like what actually came about in the show?
I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't even think we would last 2 years. So even the fact that I'm saying 2 years, it's like, damn, man, that's a long time. But at the time, we just did it just to do it. Like, you know, like we've mentioned this before, like me and Kylan, we talk on the phone all the time. So that day, he's like, yo, let's go on live. And I'm like, nah. I ain't with that live, but I'm not trying to go live. He's like, yo, we're already talking. He's like, what's the difference if we go live? So I said, okay, whatever. So we ended up doing live, and that, for some reason, that day, it ended up being super successful. And then we did it the week after, and then at that point, we said, we might as well make this a regular thing. And at the time, what we were doing was random people jump in. But because sometimes it felt like it wasn't organized to my liking, at least I want to say, because sometimes we'd be like, come on, tap in, and no one would tap
right.
So then me and Kylan would just be, you know, talking just whatever we can to fill the void. And then that's when I was like, you know what, let me start booking some people. So that's when we started booking. And now we have, we pretty much booked all the way to summertime, I think. So
nice.
Yeah. So it's been fun. I mean, it's also cool because we get to see different collections, right? The way we wanted to structure it was something that's not anybody else is doing. So that way we can stand out. Because, you know, you don't want to be doing the same thing. Someone's like, oh, you're just doing what they're doing. It's like, nah, we want it to be brand new, fresh, you know, just something else to bring to the table. But, Yeah, we enjoyed it.
That's what's up. Yeah, nah, I definitely enjoy watching y'all show. I think that's the most I see out of, you know, people's collections that I who would never see, yeah. Get to see deep into their collections.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, man, this, I love watching y'all show for sure. For sure.
Yeah. We had Justin on that one time, Justin Kabelka. We had Justin on, of course, too. But we had Justin. We didn't have you on, though, Justin.
No.
Okay, nah, y'all ain't had him on yet.
We definitely going to get Justin and Ankon at the same time, too, one day. But I think at that time you weren't doing shows, Justin. Remember, you went
You don't.
Yeah, I know why we didn't get Justin. We didn't get Ankon. So with that being said, when we had Justin K on, he was like, what do you guys want to see? And we're like, shit, the comments was going crazy. Lace that comment. Yeah. We can't even read it. We're trying to read like what we, you know, so we're going to have sneak peek for everyone. We're actually going to have, it's already been confirmed, Justin Kabelka is going to be on the week of Tinley. So that Wednesday, we're going to have Justin on again. So you guys can, you know, make sure you save all the combos you want to see. So then by that time, you're going to see them at 1,500 grams. If they came out now, they're going to be 1,500 grams right there. And make sure you guys ask us. So that's going to be an exciting episode.
Yeah. So that's going to be before the October 10th.
Yeah. Right. Like the week of.
Dope. Yeah, that'll be nice.
That's going to be cool. Yeah. We're going to have to do a like 3-hour episode. Justin, you ain't leaving this facility. We got to see everything.
Yeah, that'll be dope. That'll be dope. Yeah, because I think I missed y'all last time when y'all had him on. I don't think I saw that one.
Yeah. And the thing, too, is with our lives, we delete them right after.
Right.
So whether we are Justin, Ozzy, Prog Morphs in Europe, anyone, regardless of who we have, boop, delete right after.
Yeah.
Y'all was basically all live.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
if you want to go on Keys, man, I did promise him that.
Say it again.
So I still got to go on with Keys. I did promise him I would come on.
Yeah. So that's why. That's another good channel, too. Another good channel.
Yeah. And I'll ask y'all that before we wrap up here. I mean, Jaffe's on. He's very on. He's on social media a lot. Along with myself, I try to put out at least a video a week or whatever, even if it's just an update on what it is I'm doing up in here. Justin, you've been in what, this your seventh year breeding?
Seventh
year breeding. Yeah. So do you not see a need for because I mean you did get on Instagram, so you started getting on there. Do you see a need to do any more as far as social media goes for your business as far as you go, or do you see you doing that in the future as far as getting on more podcasts and all that kind of stuff, or YouTube or any of that?
I mean, I might. I mean, of course, I wouldn't do my own channel. If anything, I might go on some other shows, do some interviews or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I really just like posting on Instagram and posting on Facebook. And really, yeah. I like to post my snakes as pictures versus doing them on the live videos, because I feel like the live videos take away from the animals, because I can't really show it the way I want to. You know what I mean?
I agree. Right.
So you more of a picture guy than the reels. You don't like the reels.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
what about you? Oh, go ahead.
No, I'll keep them and take 12 pictures until I get the right one. It's got to be perfect for me to post it. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. What about you, Ark? Were you as far as social media and stuff and all that? I mean, you about to start hatching stuff out for the first time. Is your do you see yourself? I know you got Instagram you got Instagram, right? Or is it just Facebook?
Yeah I got, no, Instagram, you got Instagram and Facebook. Yeah. I see myself probably just doing a lot more posting and just maybe doing some shows. I don't never want to host a show or none of that, but I just really do a show or so. I'm more so I don't care for the camera much neither. Then I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, right. Shoot, I think people underestimate this. Even trying to put out a video a week is hard for me. That's the I walk in here and I'm like, I swear I just showed this nigga on Instagram, so I ain't no point in doing no video about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just trying to figure out different content, you know, to post up. It's a job in itself. So yeah, I definitely Yeah, every week shows. I salute everybody out there doing the every week shows. Celtic Boss. Everybody out there doing theirs. You know what I'm saying? Keys got like 5 shows a week. You know, yeah. So it's a job, man. It's a job in itself. You know, yeah. I like what David said. I like the reels personally myself. I do like to do the reels. My picture skills is not the best. So if I could do a reels on the post for Morph Market, mm-hmm. That's what Morph Market needs to do. You need to create a reel stack. So if you just post a reel up there, your animal for sale versus a photo, you know? if they did that, I know that, I think you could post a YouTube video.
Yeah, at the bottom.
Yeah, you could do a YouTube video on there. But yeah, I wish they did.
Tornado. I seen a couple of comments.
Oh, yeah, I did. Sister might have posted something about Tornado.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get Tornado and Cosmos confused.
Yeah, Tornado's recessive. And that's the one from UK.
Let me look it up real quick.
Yeah. They both have a similar vibe to them, granite jeans, but one is a codom and one is a recessive. For me, I like
the video on Tornado. Was it Justin last year?
Yeah.
I think he, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Tornado's the one he picked up.
I think. Oh, like, yeah.
2.2 or something like that.
That's this John right here.
Yeah,
that's sweet. Yeah. I like that jean. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's. And that's not a recessive.
No, that's a recessive.
Oh, Tornado is a recessive. Okay. The Cosmos then is not the recessive.
Yeah, Cosmos is a codon.
Yeah, no, I definitely Tornado, I mean, that's amazing. It just won't hit the market for me for another 5-6 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then by that time, you know, Justin will have it in the quad somewhere, yeah. And then you know, and then he'll post it and then they'll start selling them. So yeah. Whose jean is that? The Tornado?
I think it's D&J. I think their name is D&J. D and J. I think I forgot what it was, but it was in Europe. In UK, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a cool jean.
I mean, I applaud to people that's willing to stick it out and try to figure out if they got a new jean, because that's a lot of work.
Especially because that came from a quad head to a quad head. He bred it and popped that up.
Also, he didn't even know that was the...
No, yeah, it just popped out of the quad head times quad head.
Do you know what the quad head was? The quad head pair was?
It was like albino pied something. It basically wasn't, had nothing to do with the gene. It's like, remember Roland popped out Stranger and Monsoon for that 1 pound female?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something like that. I'm trying to find an idea.
Okay, so he was trying to make something else. He must have bred like a mom back to our son, back to the mom or something like that.
I think he even bred, it was like two, brother and sister or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to put
that. That's wild.
Yeah, it's a crazy gene. Oh, here it is. So his name is D.N. Joes. So that's his page.
Wow, yeah.
Let me find this. He's got another Dinker gene in there, too.
Ooh, 30. It's 30K per visual for the Tornado? Is that?
Yeah.
Nah.
Jeez.
What's my famous saying, Matt?
let them big breeders figure out their new jeans, man. We'll wait. I'll wait till it hit 5,000. That's when I'll come in. I'll wait 5,000 for it, you know what I'm saying? For the single jean, I'll wait, man. Because that's
a lot of money.
30,000 for it, yeah. That's, I mean, hey, you know, you do the work, you get the, you know, you reap the benefits. But my wife ain't about to let me take on no 30,000 for no snake. That ain't happening.
Hell no. 30,000?
No. That ain't happening. Well, shoot, man. Unless y'all got something else, fellas, we're going to get ready to wrap this thing up. The last thing I did want to ask y'all to do was to give a shout out to, you know what I'm saying, somebody out there watching that, you know what I'm saying, a breeder or somebody other than us that's in our group, you know what I'm saying? And not nobody that's, you know, out there that everybody know. If y'all got anybody y'all want to shout out, man, shout somebody out so they can get some recognition on this live and on this podcast when it's rewatched.
Yeah. I'm going to double up on that, man. I'm going to shout out my boy Miggy at Miggy Morrison. I'm going to shout out my boy Willen at Windy City.
Oh, you definitely took mine.
Those my dogs.
He do got that heat, man. Windy City, he don't be playing, man. He don't play at all. He do not play. All right. Well, shoot, I got to find somebody else real quick in my IG.
I'm going to give two shout outs to our new breeders. I'm going to do one that's Sculpted Exotics, amazing collection, and his partner, Ideal Pythons. Both of those guys are going to be producing crazy stuff. I can't wait to see what they got going. They'll be working Zebra, Hypo Zebra, a whole bunch of clown combos, like I mentioned before, Ultramel stuff in the near future, and then a whole bunch of stuff you guys got to check their page out on. So I'm going to do someone who's new to the game.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I give my shout out to Mantooth Reptiles over with Josh Mantooth. So he's been working a lot of exantic stuff and pushing real hard at it, man. So y'all just go give him a follow whenever you get a chance.
For sure, for sure. I'm going to give mine out to the homie Timmy over at Butte. Is it Butte? I think it's like Butte Ball Python.
Yeah,
I think that's how you say it. I don't want to butcher the name. But the homie Timmy, he's over in Will's picture on with me. But he got some killer stuff. I know he posted the other day like a vanilla. That vanilla DG Batman. Oh, it was ridiculous. That thing is crazy nice. Yeah. Big shout out to him because he's making some big moves, especially in the Desert Ghost game. He got a lot of DG Mario stuff that he's working and all that, Super Mario, all that kind of crazy stuff, man. So, shout out to him, man. If that's it, man, you already know who it is, man. It's Big E, Javi, Justin Thomas at Armless Angels, and Unk, man. We in here. We're going to sign out, man. We're going to hit it one time for y'all. Because I know y'all been waiting. You know what I'm saying? I should have told Mike to put that in the thing to put the intro on here. Then I could have just played it again. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to hit it one time for y'all, man. You know what I'm saying? Make sure my voice is good. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if they didn't see it live, they didn't see it. If they wasn't here, they missed out. And if they sleep, they better wake up. Ebony. And Ivory Reptiles. Hey, man, much love, man. We signing off. Y'all have a blessed one. Be out of here.
That's what's up.